After years of corruption and excessive use of deadly force, federal oversight of the Detroit Police Department ended in 2016. Now supervision comes by way of the Board of Police Commissioners. But often, for on-the-job infractions and serious violations of department policy, it's the top brass at DPD who are in charge of punishing subordinate officers. A recent investigation by Deadline Detroit showed that bad cops aren't just falling through the cracks. Bad behavior isn't punished, and some problem officers still get promoted. Reporter Violet Ekonomova tells WDET's Russ McNamara that for officers who are criminally charged, the warning signs were already there.
So I looked at 10 officers who had exhibited a pattern of red flags before their behavior resulted in criminality. And what I found were several trends that work together to create what I describe in the story as a perpetuating cycle of limited accountability. So it starts with bias. When officers stay silent for one another in the field, we found numerous examples of them looking the other way on wrongdoing or outright covering up criminality. And that bias extends all the way to the Internal Affairs Division of the department, where occasionally investigators will come to baffling conclusions. There was a case where they found that an officer had not committed an excessive use of force, even though there was an independent witness telling them he had, and even though there was evidence he tried to cover up what happened. Now, that makes it really difficult to find officers even guilty of wrongdoing. But in the rare instance they are found guilty, they're highly unlikely to face serious punishment. Here, the problem extends to the department's top brass. It's department commanders who decide the overwhelming majority of penalties at appeal hearings. And at those appeals, they're either dismissing or reducing 75% of punishments. One national expert said that it was a sign of a deeply broken system. So then the most commonly issued form of discipline becomes a written reprimand. That's wiped off an officer's record within 2 years under union contract rules. And so what happens is these disciplinary records that are used to determine future penalties against officers, to determine their credibility when there's a claim of wrongdoing against them, they're incomplete. So an officer with a track record of abuse may look clean. But there's one more thing. They know that the system is highly porous. And so the department did develop a backstop in order to catch these folks who slip through the cracks. That involves supervisors having meetings with officers who exhibit red flags, whether they be inconclusive citizen complaints or a bunch of car crashes or what have you. The officers, in many cases, could be subjected to monitoring. But what's happening is these supervisors are looking the other way and saying that there's no issue. This officer maybe got a bunch of citizen complaints against them because citizens are trying to retaliate against officers because they're mad they got in trouble. And mind you, I noticed this as a trend with a bunch of officers who were eventually charged with crimes.
Just how long did this process take from the initial punishment and then further violations of department policy go into somebody eventually being charged criminally?
So it can really vary. I mean, there was a sergeant on there who's been with the department for about 15 years, and he was promoted to sergeant after he was disciplined 10 times. He was promoted to sergeant in 2016. Then between 17 and 19, he committed a bunch of body camera violations. Not having his body camera on, it became a pattern, but the cases against him were dismissed. And then he was looking the other way on alleged abuses by subordinates. And those cases against him were either dismissed or resulted in informal counseling, which is not considered discipline. So it can be that long. There was an officer with a longer history, but often it's kind of short. In a draft of the story, I described some of these officers as blazing a trail of terror that spanned, 4 years. An officer can do a lot of damage in that period. The main case I highlight at the top of the story is an officer, Rochelle Mayberry, who was abusing citizen after citizen or treating them rudely, doing illegal searches, caught lying. She, at every turn, the department decided to keep her, all the way until the point when the department was raising alarms about her, saying she's going to wind up committing a crime, bringing the department into quote unquote disrepute, or costing us a lot of money in terms of a civil payout. And 2 months after, the chief of police at the time, James Craig, now running for governor, effectively gave her a promotion. She came to him. She said, "I think I've been having trouble in the 5th precinct, the 8th precinct, because my supervisors are scapegoating me." And so she said, I'd like to go to homicide. And you know what? I actually have a 4-year degree from U of M that would help me do great in there. And he said, sure, effective immediately, you're at homicide. Unbeknownst to him, she made up the degree. The school doesn't even offer a major in it.
You mentioned GOP gubernatorial candidate James Craig, former Detroit police chief. It's easy and convenient to say, well, it's not me. That's not my department. I wasn't in charge at that time. Detroit has a new police chief, James White. Has he said he's going to do anything about some of the problems that you raised in your article?
No. Last week at the Board of Police Commissioners, his response ranged from dismissive to defensive. He tried to lay blame at the feet of James Craig, while at the same time acting as if there were no new problems I'd unveiled that warranted addressing. He told the board almost verbatim, we can't respond to every article. There's always going to be an article. And his history is very much entwined with some of these cases. He was the head of a portion of the department that audits the way officers who commit misconduct are handled. And in one case, he overturned the termination of an officer who had a pattern of misconduct related to car crashes. One of those was a chase against department policy that should have never been initiated. Within months, he committed another chase in violation of department policy, leading to the death of a 17-year-old, and then he tried to cover up the chase. He was convicted of a misdemeanor, and White reversed his termination.
I get the feeling like this is just the beginning of the story. Is there more to come?
There's a lot more I'd like to flesh out that didn't make it into the piece. There were many cases we found of officers outright turning off their body cameras. That right now is a slap on the wrist if you get caught doing that. There's legislation at the state level that would make it an evidence tampering charge that would have greater consequences. There's a number of smaller stories that need to be pursued. But the proof will really be, James White has unveiled a series of reforms. And what needs to happen is those reforms, a year from now, I need to run a similar check to the one I did and see if those are in fact taking hold. Experts say they are unlikely to make a difference, but White and the Board of Police Commissioners think that they are the way forward.